So welcome back. My name is Saptak Sen. I'm a senior product manager in the Azure Data Platform team, and I have with me Bill Ramos.
Hi, I'm Bill Ramos. I'm VP of Consulting Services with Advaya, and I'll be doing the demos for this module.
So in this module, we are going to cover how do you operationalize your big data platform. So we are going to look at various options using PowerShell, using WebHCat, and WebHDFS. And we are going to, as we go along, we are going to describe some of those in much more detail. So let's get started. So we do have our .NET SDK for Hadoop. And what that lets you do is to, you know, some of the things we covered in our first module on how to, you know, submit a job and so on, you can now do that from your code, because it's important to be able to do that from your client applications. And that's what the .NET Client SDK provides. So we saw in a previous module how to write MapReduce code in .NET. But we did see how to submit a job or monitor a job using .NET. So that's what we are going to do. Now, in the last module, you saw some of these aspects play a little bit, like the Hive library, the web client library, and this lets you submit, for example, Hive jobs, right? And also, when you're using link to Hive, you are still going to have to use the Hive library. Now, using that, once you submit a particular Hive job or a MapReduce job, what the MapReduce framework does is then it generates, as usual, a MapReduce job for the Hive query that you have submitted, and then it runs it. Now, WebHDFS and WebHCat provides something a little bit different. Now, WebHDFS, as the name suggests, is a REST-based API which lets you move and deal with files on HDFS. Basically, it lets you do file and directory operations. Whereas WebHCat helps you schedule jobs and manage the executions of jobs on your cluster. Now let's look at a demo where we see a .NET application being used for submitting a job, actually to submit, move some files on using WebHDFS.
Yep. So in this demo, what I'm going to do is we're going to use the WebHDFS API, and we're going to take the data that we used in the prior module that we generated from reactive extensions, where we had the crime data that had crime percentages greater than 100% as a text file. And we're going to take that, and it's going to get we're going to create a Hive table, and then move the data up, load the data into the Hive table, and then go ahead and execute a query just to make sure that that all works. So let's go ahead and get started with the application. So I'm going to go ahead and create a new console app, and we'll go ahead and call this demo Hive. And as before, what I'm going to do is I'm going to load in two packages. One is the web client, and I'll do that through our tools manager here, library package manager, and then back to the console. And so this is loading both the API information for HDFS, web HDFS, and the web HCAT. So we've got that, and we'll bring in our other one here, which is our Hive module, because we're actually going to be doing some Hive programming. Okay, so now we're set up with our references. The next thing I need to do is go ahead and bring in my program file and walk through this. Actually, I think I'll walk through it by actually executing it, because it's a very serial program here. But I do need to make sure I get the code right. So there we go. Okay. So this example is based on one that's in the SDK to get you running, but we've set up our own parameters with the storage account name and everything like that. So I'm just going to go ahead and set a breakpoint, build the project, and we'll start. Okay, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to set up the variables for our account execution. We're going to use our storage account that we did and then the long key that we had for the information. We'll then go ahead and establish our cluster name, our admin, our Hadoop user account and password. And then our student variable is going to be used to set up a variable with the result file. So we're going to create a Hive table that's essentially going to be called 01_crimeinfo.net. And so we'll go ahead and do that. The other thing we're going to do is use our student ID to set up an output directory for our result in our Hive table. Set up our Hive table name. So if we look at that there, we'll see what's going on. We're going to indicate where the container path is. The next thing we're going to do is show where the file is on our hard drive. And so this is where WebHDFS is going to locate the file and then upload it. And we'll set our file location. Because WebHDFS needs our account information, we go ahead and set up our storage account and our container where we want the result. And then finally, we specify the URI, which in this case is going to be http://whack/whack, our big data jumpstart cluster. And first thing we do where we actually call out to the API is we're going to set up our storage account adapter. And when that comes back, we now have our storage account adapters set up. And now we're going to set up our client, which combines the two together for performing the operations. The next thing that will happen is we're going to create the directory based on the value here. So what's going to happen, what is it? Let's see here. Boink. Oh, there's a directory. I can zoom in here. There we go. What we're going to do is create a directory on our Hadoop file system on Azure Storage, which is going to be set up for our table name. And we'll do that through this operation right here. So I'll go ahead and F10. And so our directory is created, and we'll write that out to our console window. So that's letting us know we've gone through. The next thing we're going to do is actually copy the file, our local file, from our directory, and we're actually going to put it in our output result and give it the same name on the HDFS directory. So we'll go ahead and do the copy file operation. So right there showed how you can use the web HDFS client to actually copy a data file from your local hard drive to your Azure storage without, in the past I've been using things like FSPut, or we've been using utilities like the Azure Storage Explorer, but with this library, I'm able to copy the files from my local hard drive up to the system without any issues. So if we go back to my example here, the next thing we're going to do is set up a Hive connection. And so what this will do is go ahead and set up all the information needed to connect to the cluster with the appropriate usernames and passwords and account information to create our Hive table. So we'll go ahead and create a Hive table named 01CrimeInfo.net. Okay. We're going to go ahead and we've got a string variable with our command that we'll go ahead and set up here. And so this will go ahead and essentially do a create table statement with our state, city, population, total crime activities, and our crime percentage as a string. Will indicate that it's delimited by commas, and it will be stored in the Hadoop file system as a text file. and we'll add into the command the location of where we're doing it, in particular, the same path that we had before. Actually, we have a different path for our table itself. We'll go ahead now and execute the query that will create the table statement. And so this will take a little bit as we're sending out actually to the Hadoop file system the create table statement, and so we're going to wait for that to come back. And so hopefully that should happen here in about 10 seconds or so. Let's see what happens. So go back to our display here for a moment. Hopefully this moment will go quick.
Right.
It's a good thing I had a display in the command window of the create table statement,
right,
so we can look at it there.
Right.
So again, what I'm using, whoops, let me go back. I just want to point out here, when we're executing this query, we're using the wait method here. Looks like it finished. So we're saying execute Hive query, and we're telling it to wait. Again, if I forgot to use this wait method, what will happen is the load data procedure, which is down here before, would execute right away, wouldn't have a table, and everything would error violently. Well, in the way the code errors, I guess.
Right.
Okay, so now that our table's created, I'll go ahead and we'll load the data into our system. And again, similar to what we did in the Hive module in module 3, we're using the load data statement where we're indicating the container where the data is going to come from. And this is the crime data file that was uploaded using the WebHDFS API. And now we're going to go ahead and load in the data. Now this should not take too long because we have, what, about 10, 15 records in there? Again, this was from our reactive extensions example where we looked at crime data that was over 100% for cities. So we didn't have too much data, so it shouldn't take too long to load.
So in short, Bill, the wait method basically helps you, make this method synchronous instead of asynchronous, right? You by default, these are asynchronous methods. It returns right away as it submits, and it's useful for most situations because you can go do something else and then come check back to see if your results are back yet or not at a later stage. But in some cases where you do want to wait for the query to finish, those wait methods provides you a way to kind of make those methods synchronous.
Yeah, in a way, you debug your code with these wait methods.
Right.
Because I'm just showing a very small fraction of the API, but there's a way to actually, once you go ahead and run your queries, you can actually, it gets scheduled up and you have a way to see what's going on with your system. You can actually tell these when you execute, when you want it to run, and the Hadoop file system will take care of all that activity for you. Well, we're back, the data's all loaded up now. And so now we have a data file or a Hive file in theory that's ready to go. So what I'm gonna do is go ahead and we're gonna issue select query. We're going to select star from our Hive table. And then like we did before, we're going to do the execute query command. Now, I'm a little bit hesitant why I didn't have a wait on that one, but we'll see if the results come back here. Ah, I know why. Because what we're doing here is, this is another way, what we're doing with this results or result.result read to end, it's taking the data that we had from the execute and it's actually waiting for the stream to come back. And so this is another way that you can wait without having to do the wait method for viewing your data. So when all the data is finished, it'll go ahead and output the results to our console here, assuming all goes well. So there's different ways of waiting for stuff within the .NET API here.
So the underlying thing is that Hadoop is, again, a batch system. I know we have told this several times across the different modules, but this is just kind of showing it that how much of a batch system it is. But what it buys you, this batch system, is to do all these arbitrary queries over your arbitrary data set. This could be text files, this could be image files. You'll have to obviously have, if you have special kinds of files like image files and so on, you need to have specific serializers and deserializers. And these are some of the advanced topics which we won't be covering in our current course here. But there's plenty of documentation, and we are planning some white papers and so on around those advanced topics. So, you know, look out for those.
So we're back. Our results are back. So if we go back to our console here, you'll see we now have our results back from our Hive query. So what we've done is we've taken the text file. We used the WebCat, the Web HDFS feature to take that data file, load it up onto our Windows Azure storage. And then from there, we went ahead and created a Hive table and load the data from that local file into the system, and then did a select query to show our results that we see right here for our data result. So we'll go ahead and continue out and press any key to continue. And that is it for our example of running a Hive query using the WebCat function. So with that, I think we have one more demo slide. If we switch back to the slide there, we'll show out what the next scenario is here.
Yeah.
Actually, if you go back one, please. Now we're back two. Okay. So in this next example, what I want to do is show how to use WebHCat for actually performing another job where we're going to do, again, another Hive query for that. So let's go ahead and run that get that example up and running. I think. Did I go too far? It's not a rhetorical question. Let's see. Select. Okay, here we go. Good. Okay, so in this next example, I'm going to create a new project. And I'll call this HCat. And I'm going to go ahead and get rid of my text there and bring in the new application program. I'm suffering from mouse ability here. Okay, so I've got that text. And then you see here we're going to be using actually a combination of Web HDFS and HCat to get things going here. And what I need to do now is import our modules. So I'll go ahead and go off to NuGet. And we have all our dependencies resolved. So again, let me go ahead and just do a quick scan here, make sure I have everything set up. Okay, good. Set our breakpoint just to run through the application and let her rip. Move our console window over here. So similar to what we did before, we'll go ahead and set up our variables for the username and password. Identify the Hive table that we're going to be working from, and then set up our cluster URI and our output directory where we're going to have the Hive results queries go. So in this case, we're actually going to output the data from our Hive query into a file that we can later read. And we set that establishment. And the next thing we're going to do is set up our HCat HTTP client. Now again, I'm using C# code. There's a complete REST API that's available for this as well, so that you can use anything to actually make these calls. So now we're going to go ahead and create our remote Hive job. And we're going to go ahead and do a select from our Hive table. And at this point, what we're doing is we're going to go ahead and, as part of our command, we have our select statement. We're going to indicate where our output directory is, where we're going to be able to see the results. And so essentially what we're doing is creating a Hive job. We could have created a MapReduce job and a Pig job using the same HTTP client as part of the operation. So this is just the one API that we're using to be consistent with our examples with Hive. So now I'm going to go ahead and execute or schedule that up, and we're going to wait for the Hive job to actually come back. And so at this point, we're now going to go ahead and just show, again, how you would see asynchronously what was going on. Now, again, not the best program to check for asynchronous stuff, but what we're going to do is go ahead and wait for our job results. So now we've this is our job ID. If I was to go back to the console that we had on our HD Insight cluster, we could actually see this job. This job would also allow us, there's an API for killing it, so if we have a rogue job that gets spun up, we have a way of making sure that you can actually kill it based on this job ID. Okay, so our job is now complete, right? And so now what I have with my result is execution of that. Let's go ahead and go back. And I could go back and actually see the table results in the output directory that we had there. So with that, I'm going to turn it back over to you for our PowerShell example.
Okay. So what we just saw is the ability to manipulate files and manage files on the cluster using the Web HDFS API, which is again a completely REST-based API. And then also then how to manage, submit jobs, manage jobs on the cluster using the Web HCAT API. Now this is great if you are using something like your .NET code, but for most system administrators, they prefer the flexibility of PowerShell. So for PowerShell, we have created a bunch of commandlets, which you then can use from your PowerShell environment to do some of this as well. So again, moving on to Bill and see how that works again.
Okay. What I'm going to do here is show you how you can set up a cluster, run a MapReduce job. In fact, we'll run the same MapReduce job that we did back in Module 2. And then when the MapReduce job is done, show the results of it, and then tear down the cluster. So what we're doing, in effect, is making it possible to control our expenses on Windows Azure by creating the cluster when we need it, doing all the processing, and tearing it down. Now, with the general availability release of HD Insight, they have all the commandlets that are necessary to do this, which wasn't the case in the prior previews. So hats off to the HD Insight team for making this all possible. So let me show you the script that we're going to run here. And so what I'm doing is I'm going to go ahead and output the subscription information just to make sure that everything runs in here. I want to show something as the script's running, but you don't have to do that if you're running a production script. I'll set up the same set of variables that I did before with my subscription ID. I'm going to give it the name of a cluster. In this case, I'm going to call it Elastic.js. I'm going to use the same storage account that I used for my Big Data JS cluster, but I'm going to use a different container called Working. Let me shift back over here to my storage account. So the Big Data JS container, this is the one that we've been using in the prior modules. In the Working module, you'll see this has no data in it. So you'll see, essentially, we're working from scratch. In addition, look at our HD Insight clusters. I don't have that Elastic.js cluster in here. So let's go back to our PowerShell. I'm going to go ahead and get the credentials. Now, this is the one kind of little downside in here. When you do get credentials, it's going to prompt for the credentials that we'll use for the cluster. So the script, I'll have to go ahead and type in the information there. We'll get our storage key, our context over here, and then we'll use the command new Azure HD Insight Cluster. Well, this will go ahead and take about 10 to 15 minutes to run as it's going through its job. And so again, it takes the subscription information, the name of the cluster, give it the location, the name, all the information, and then we can indicate the cluster size in terms of nodes. So I could, you know, like I said, because this is automated and I'm only paying for the time that it's doing the execution, if I had the bandwidth with my account, I could say make this 200 nodes or whatever it happens to be, whatever the limits are for my account. We'll then go ahead and take, once I get the cluster set up, we'll take the data files and load them up into our storage account, which is in our working container name, and then go ahead and upload the blobs and then run our MapReduce. Now, it just occurred to me, I'm going to go ahead and just let this run and then go through the rest of the script while it's executing. So what I'm going to do now is switch over to our mixed view here. And just to make sure I can run the script, I have to do the set execution policy remote signed command. So I'll go ahead and run that and tell it yes. And up to this time, you've noticed I've been pressing run selection F8, but there's another command in the shell that allows me to run the script. So what this is going to do is run this whole script as is. So I'm going to go ahead and hit run script. So again, it's doing the prompt. I'll call it admin and then my password. And now what it's doing is going ahead and creating the cluster. So you see here it's creating cluster Elastic.js. And in fact, if I go over here to my console and now refresh on my clusters, let's go ahead and paint this out here. Okay, you'll see the status of the cluster right here for my Elastic.js. So it's already started up in the UI, and I can see the progress here. I can also see the progress here in my center area that's showing the job. Okay, so let's go back to what's going on as the cluster is getting created. Okay, so I'm taking my C:\data/census data file. Again, these are the files that I modified back in module 1 and uploaded into the context. So after the cluster gets created, it's going to go ahead and do the upload of our data and put it in that working storage account. It's then going to go ahead and take the second data file and upload that. It's going to take my executable files, again, that I copied into my application directory and move those up into the applications folder in my working container for both my mapper and reducer. And again, this is the same code that we ran essentially in module 2. We set up our streaming word count job, and so after our cluster is created, it'll go ahead and set up the job definition, run the job. And so again, the same way, using the start Azure job, waiting for the results, and then getting the job output. What we'll then do is go ahead and download as part of the PowerShell script the data file result to the desktop, and then show in the results pane or the results console down here all the counties that had King in them. And then finally, execute this remove HD Insight cluster command, which will tear down the cluster. Okay, so we can see at this point that we're now configuring our Azure virtual machines. And so this is part of the nodes here. Again, the big advantage is that we're only paying for the virtual machine usage as it's running, rather than keeping the cluster up and running. Because if we keep the cluster up and running, you're getting billed on an hourly rate, and that adds up after a while. And so the idea is you keep your data on your Azure storage, and then spin up the cluster around it to do the operations that you need to do and tear it back down. Okay, so we'll go ahead and let's just flip back over here. And we see here that, again, in our UI, we're seeing the same messaging here as we see in our PowerShell window. Now I'm going to go ahead and let this run, and when come back, we'll see the output results from the execution of showing all the values that are, or all the data that was in King or counties that had King in them. Okay, we see here a little bit of progress. Our cluster is now created, and we've uploaded the files, and we're now in the process of running the MapReduce job. If I switch over now to our browser, you'll see our Elastic JS HD Insight cluster is up and running. And you'll also see in the storage account, if I go back over here to Big Data Jumpstart and my containers and working, you see all our various files here that are part of the job. So you can see our data files, our mapper and reducer. So let's go back to the PowerShell script here. So our map reduce job is almost done at this point. So what it's done now is taking the blob and moving it over to our desktop. And hopefully this will work okay. It's always an interesting thing. So we've now returned back, and you see our output results from the file that used the command here for the cat command to find the string. And if now we go back to our browser, if I'm quick enough, we see here cluster still running. It should be teared down pretty soon. So let me go ahead and refresh this. Okay, and you see now our Elastic.js cluster is gone. So just like that, we went ahead and created a cluster, uploaded all our files to the storage account where we had that information, downloaded the results to our desktop, and then removed the cluster. Now the key thing here is that even though the cluster is gone, again, I'm going to go back over to our storage account now under working and our Big Data JS, go back to our containers, and here's our working container. And you'll see all our files are still here. And so the next time, if I wanted to process these data files or run this MapReduce job again, I could just simply upload the data files. I could keep the MapReduce job the same, or these files in the same location, spin up the cluster, run the job again on new data, get my results, and do whatever I need to do with them. So with the HD Insight general availability release, and the new PowerShell commandlets, it makes it very easy to run, to create the cluster, run the MapReduce job, or it could be a Hive job or Pig job or any of those other jobs types that are available, and then tear down the cluster when you're done, saving money. So that's it.
So essentially, in one fell swoop command, he created a cluster, ran a job, deleted a cluster out of it, right?
Yep, and so, the data is sitting on the
data
Azure
is still
storage.
There.
Yeah,
right.
Which
that's
really cool.
Awesome. So in this module, we saw how to manage data using WebHDFS API. We saw how to trigger off jobs and manage jobs using WebHCat. And finally, we saw how you can use PowerShell to automate this, all this without writing .NET code, just from PowerShell and automate the entire process end to end. So that's the end of our day one training here, we're getting started with Microsoft Big Data. I hope this was useful to you. We do want to follow up with another day of content.
Yeah, around analytics.
Where we show you more around big data analytics. And thank you so much for watching. Yeah. And thank you, Bill, for
You're welcome,
presenting.
Yeah. It's been a lot of fun. Thanks.